Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
So, we're about to drop the debut episode here. Welcome in, people. This is the debut episode of Hype Club. I hope you are hyped, because I know I am.
I'm hyped.
I am totally hyped. This is a new venture for us, so thank you for listening. I want to talk a little bit about quickly before we get into the show, just about what you can expect. This is kind of a show... about two players on a journey into Magic. It's exploring formats, art, community, how to play the game better, brewing, and to how to afford the game. Because I think part of Magic is finance. Not that we're a finance cast at all, but you need to know and understand that the game does cost money, and there are ways to play this game a lot cheaper than you think.
So, who are we?
We are Maddie Studios.
And Awesome Sauce.
I know, right?
We finally got there.
We finally did, folks. So please follow us on Twitter, at Maddie Studios and at Awesome Sauce.
MTG. MTG.
Yeah, you got to throw the MTG at the end. But let's get right into it, guys, because this is Hypecast. So big news today. We are recording on Monday. In less than 40 minutes, Wizards is going to drop... The bomb. The emergency ban list announcement, or I don't know if it's emergency or not, but they did move it up a week. People are going mental. Twitter's exploding. So hopefully while we're recording, they actually drop the news for you guys live. How hype would that be?
That's the goal. That's what we're trying to get to.
So I think a lot of people are coming to the conclusion very quickly, as I did, that, you know, Felidar Guardian kind of enables a lot of strategies, and that looks like the target that could be banned for Standard, which, I mean, that implies that Wizards of the Coast did not know that that was a combo, and that's kind of bad.
I find that a little hard to believe. I mean...
Why else ban it?
Maybe we're not talking about banning Felidar Guardian. You know, I've seen tweets from Brad Nelson that said, you know, he said at Shadows Over Innistrad Pro Tour that they should ban Emrakul. And then he said at Eldritch Moon Pro Tour, they should ban Emrakul.
So, I mean, you know,
I don't think Felidar Guardian is a lock for the Banhammer.
I don't either. I think there's three candidates. You got Felidar Guardian, you got Marvel, and you got Emrakul.
There's no way it's going to be Marvel.
No, and I don't think so either. But there is something to consider, and this is very interesting. If you allow Marvel to stay, and let's say you ban Emrakul, Marvel can splash the Shaheeli Rai combo pretty easy. And I don't know if that's, I mean, good or a bad strategy to do, but it just sounds like, ugh.
Well, I mean, we've had some incredibly incredibly potent brewers, such as Travis Wu, jam things like Splinter Twin and Living End before. So we have seen these multi-combo decks at like a higher level, maybe not with the consistency of, say, just Splinter Twin or just Living End. But jamming multiple combos in a deck is a thing that people do quite regularly. Yeah, I mean, every time they can.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the pros are going to do what they do, and they'll probably come up with all kinds of options. And, you know, we're just here to give, like, an overview of what could happen here. The one thing that was funny is, since the Shaheeli Rai and the Felidar Guardian combos kind of, like, was found on Twitter in 5 minutes when the full spoiler was reviewed, I've been thinking about other options for Felidar Guardian. And one of my pet decks that I'm trying to brew, especially for, you know, Standard and Frontier play, is a Planeswalker deck based around Oath of Nissa. And the idea is I want to get Oath of Nissa in play, and I want to just play Planeswalkers. No creatures, so, you know, 5, 10, maybe 15 cards in your deck are pointless. I'm only playing creatures and enchantments. And I want to drop Authority of the Council, and I want to drop Oath of Nissa, and then, you know, I'm slowing you down, I've got perfect mana, and I want to drop my stuff. And I thought, in my head, wow, Felidar Guardian can bounce any permanent. So not only can I minus a Planeswalker, bounce my Planeswalker, have it redone, fire it off again, But you can also bounce the oaths. And that, at first, that sounds kind of silly, but I'm like, bouncing Oath of Chandra, boom, target your guy. Bounce Oath of Liliana, sack a dude. Bounce Oath of Nissa,
ponder.
Draw. I mean, in the deck that is all Planeswalkers, that sounds kind of sweet. I don't know. It's just an interesting, fun thing that I saw too. So,
and to be perfectly honest, because we're talking about a new standard card and yeah. Slash Frontier, a 1/4 is actually quite potent.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, yesterday you were in the face-to-face Frontier tournament. You guys had what, 40?
41 players. Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. So you were playing Atarka Red.
I did play the best deck.
You did make top 8. You did make top 8.
I made it to top 8 with only losing one game.
That's insane.
I lost one game, and it was the game that I was on the draw. I only drew two lands, and that was it. There wasn't really much of a game there to lose. My opponent played Grim Flayer into Liliana into Siege Rhino, something like that. So, you know, you can't win them all.
No, but the one thing that I did want to talk about, and I know you know, you're one of the hosts of the MTG Frontier podcast, so... You know, go there, check that cast out if you guys want the full in-depth metagame breaks down and want to know just super in-depth about everything about that format. Awesome cast. But like, I like to touch on a little bit of things because, you know, me and you are brewers. If you had have had the red expertise in that Artaka red deck, could you have won?
Absolutely. 100%.
Right?
The way that I got knocked out of the first round of the top 8 was I played against a deck that I like to call Mono White Goblins. Which is actually just humans.
Okay.
But I actually couldn't just surmount two Archangel of Tides.
Oh, that's gross.
Right? 3/5 flyers, 5 toughness, doesn't get hit by roast. There's no real way to kill them in Frontier other than, say, like a Plummet or like a Tears of Valakut. But I don't really want to be bringing in those cards against that. I want to win the game.
Yeah.
But with the red expertise as well as the 2-mana threaten, I could have taken either Archangel of Tides, been able to attack. My opponent then could not have blocked because of the Archangel trigger. And I feel like I would have been a much better position for that game. But we didn't have that card yet. And it was actually a very interesting tournament. I won't get too much details because we'll talk about that on mtgfrontier.com. But interestingly enough, 22% of the metagame was Atarka Red. Half of the top 8 was Atarka Red. And every Atarka Red deck was knocked out round 1.
See, the one thing that I think, and in the past couple of weeks, I know a lot of people jump on that I'm sold out for some reason, and they think I'm making money off promoting Frontier, which is the most ludicrous thing in the world I've never heard. I don't know what it is. There's definitely a very small vocal group of people who just want to, you know, murder Frontier as vehemently as they can.
I feel like that group is quickly being overshadowed by hype.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Like, we have seen Frontier just in the short amount of time that it's kind of been started to talk about. Today, we got a huge announcement by Channel Fireball is now, they're going to be running Frontier side events. Now, Face runs side events as well, and they are going to be running Frontier tournaments. So we've got two of the biggest shops in North America running Frontier side events already. I personally feel like SCG is going to have to jump on that bandwagon very soon.
I mean, they're going to want to, right? As a company whose main priority is to stay in business, they want to sell these cards to people who want to play with them. And as I, from what I see, my priority and our priority at Face-to-Face Games Toronto here up in Canada is that we want to host quality tournaments. And if the players want to play the cards, we got to give them what they want.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that I find is just ludicrous that I keep hearing by a few people is this is a format made up just to sell cards. And I guess my answer is every format sells cards, so... Every format is bad. They're all made up to sell cards. Like, that's just ludicrous. So the other thing is, even if a store said, hey, I'm going to make up a format and try to sell cards, if the format is no good, then
it doesn't matter.
No one will play those cards. My theory is Frontier is just a really good idea. And just because Hyrura is the first one to start this, It doesn't mean that they had ulterior motives. And here's a tinfoil hat theory. Even if they did, it doesn't matter because the idea was good. And the idea has now transcended beyond whatever nefarious reasons it was created, which it wasn't. But the point is, it's obviously very fun. I got into it on the ground floor. I know me and you have been in since day one.
Day one, yep.
Right, we've really grown with it, and it has grown. I mean, when we first sat down to look at it, we were excited. And everyone said the same thing, which was it's just old standard decks, which it is totally not. And that's a ludicrous statement if you actually go and play in the events. It's completely not. There's so many new cards. And with every new set, it is the most exciting brewing format in Magic right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, yes, card prices have gone up. When this was first,
Hold on. Clarify.
Sure.
That's
what I was going to say. I was going to clarify. Yeah, yes, okay. Dig Through Time was $1.25 Canadian, and now it's somewhere around $5 to $6. Okay, it's one of the best cards in the format. People love playing with Dig Through Time. It's exciting. It's fun. They build their decks so that they can do it. And when this started, we started with Torrential Gearhulk. And the option of going Dig Through Time, Torrential Gearhulk, Dig Through Time, just lit people's eyes up. They were just jumping out of their seats saying, this is the only thing I want to do in the format. Jeskai Black's going to be the best deck. I'm going to get to choose all the cards I want. I get to play Jace. I get to play Dig Through Time. I got a big flash finisher now. Best deck, most fun ever. That was day one.
And you know what? Here's the hilarious thing. That's exactly what I did.
Literally, that's what I did too. I still have my Jeskai Black deck built. I lent it to someone to play yesterday.
And it is an extremely fun deck to play. I've got my ass handed to me when I tried to play it. Me and Scotty Mac just got destroyed. But it's humorous that people look at the power of Dig Through Time in a vacuum and say it therefore is the most powerful, and yet it's not. I would argue that aggro decks are the decks to beat right now, and it's very hard to beat any type of control deck in Frontier at all. And to furthermore that, Dig and Treasure Cruise are extremely important to Frontier, and here's why. I would not want to see them banned. Number one, it makes the format unique, as it's one of the only places that you're allowed to play four of.
Yep.
Two, it's, like you said, super exciting, powerful card, and it makes you want to play the format. And three, it's not actually doing anything broken right now. Like, it does draw you a bunch of cards, but I have yet to have a single game where my opponents Dig Through Timed and I'm like, well, I'm done. I'm just going to quit. Like,
no,
that's never happened.
It's the third Dig Through Time that buries you, but that's what it's supposed to do, because control decks right. don't have a way to win the game other than make you go, ugh, okay, you win.
Right. And look, there are, again, if you look at Modern, and we'll go back to prices really quickly, because, you know, I can't remember, the Ancestral Visions. Okay,
yep.
It's a what, a $60 card now, Canadian?
Around there, yep.
By the way, people, we're going to use Canadian prices for things. If you're an American, you're going to be like, oh my God, that's expensive. But we're two Canadians up here, eh? So, oh, you betcha. if you look at Ancestral Visions, right, in Modern, it's probably the most exciting draw card you are allowed to play. And, you know, I bought them and I paid, I don't know, I think $40 or $50 a piece, whatever, because I was playing Grixis Control. And I still have that deck, love that deck. When I play, I grab it and I go play. That's $120, man, or $160 for a playset. So Dig Through Time costs $5 now. $20 for a playset of a card that is infinitely more powerful.
How many Dig Through Times do you think you could get if you traded somebody an Ancestral Vision?
I mean, I'm not, and by all means, we're not trying to encourage speculation and even the dreaded term MTG Finance, which I constantly use in the wrong context, apparently, to some people. but we're just saying that you have to, for the people that are saying Frontier is a completely, it's a money grab, the cards aren't worth anything, et cetera, et cetera. I argue and say the cards are a dollar. Hardened Scales is a dollar. You can buy four for a dollar and you can build an awesome deck that costs you like $60, not including fetches. So I don't know. I mean, do you think that deck, if suddenly Frontier's not a thing, is worth not $60? Okay, maybe it's worth $52. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're into this, you're into this entire hobby and this world called Magic for money, then I think you're doing it wrong. I don't know. I think you're doing it wrong. So everything is not static. Everything is flowing. It's organic. It's moving. That's what Magic is. So right now, Frontier is fun. It's playing. Who knows what could happen in the future? You know, look at Modern. It only took 5 years for that to get stagnant, overpriced, and really not worth the price of the entry fee.
But to be perfectly honest, Modern, like a little while ago, like it was sort of, and I'm talking like within, you know, 12 to 18 months, it had sort of become like an elitist format, because there were tier one decks and they were all more expensive than everything else. And until Cathartic Reunion was printed and Dredge became sort of the new kid on the block, Modern decks were expensive. They never were that cheap.
Oh, exactly. I would love to tell people that, look, when I wouldn't say I was in on the ground floor on Modern day one.
I was, but, actually.
Well, okay, so I would say that I was involved and hyped and wanted to play the format day one. Yes. Did I own all the cards or even close to any of the cards or even a whole deck day one? No. And that was my fault. I waited. And then by the time I tried to start getting in, that first year when Snapcaster Mages went from $10 to $100, like everything went out of control. And it tainted a lot of people. And then, you know, for 3 years, it rode that ever increasing, you know, curve of just like everything's more expensive every year. It doesn't matter what you buy, Modern, Modern, Modern.
And it's because Wizards promoted the game to grow, but couldn't keep up with the card supply, right? If you introduce hundreds and thousands of people into your game every year and don't make new cards available, price goes up. That's how supply and demand works.
Yeah, and that is just fundamental facts. You can't even argue with that. And I'm not here to justify that. Is the game expensive or not is not even... That is not even an argument that I can get into anymore. And, you know, I used to in the past, and I've come full circle to realize that there are just... The game is an economy, and whether I hate it or love it or yell at it or scream at it or don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. So I'm just trying to find my way and my journey, and I want to be at the forefront of where things are adapting, because that is the time to get in at the cheapest point. And you can play that, whatever it is, new formats or cards or whatever it is, new brews for decks. It doesn't even have to be just Frontier-based. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. But what Frontier does that I'm so excited of, and which I believe that a lot of people are realizing, is there's such less fear of it becoming Modern price-wise, because there's so many more cards.
So yeah, at Return to Ravnica, which isn't even in Frontier, that was the switch, right? Mm-hmm. That's when Wizards said, okay, we want people to play Modern, so we need to get them Shocklands, so we're going to print the heck out of Return to Ravnica. But to go along with it, we're going to promote the heck out of it, and we're going to make Pro Tours and GPs and coverage and versus videos and Star City events and blah, 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 blah. They jammed it down our throats because we wanted it. That's what we wanted.
Exactly. Riding that wave, we were all excited. And then when the buzz was going around about banning the Modern Pro Tour, as someone who loved Modern, I wasn't excited when people would say that. I'm like, but I really like watching it. And they were like, no, you have to make a choice. You either accept bannings every year or you don't get a Pro Tour. And I felt like that was just like a really bad, you know, principle telling you it's this or that and there's no other option. And I feel like both options were bad. And I think at the end of the day, Wizards kind of went with what their bookkeepers were telling them, which is like, look, man, our business model is standard. Stop promoting anything but standard. Mm-hmm. And hey, was it almost a year ago? I think it was a little over a year ago. The whole pay the pros scandal happened, and all they did was push it a year. So that's coming in a couple months too. That's going to be brought up again. And I don't think there's going to be a pay the pros rally. Wizards is going to cut that again too, to try and save money there and focus it to where they can make money. Whether it's right or wrong, that's a whole debate for another episode that we can get into. But getting back to Modern and where it is, Frontier offers you the safety of, yes, these cards aren't worth anything right now, or the majority of them. I think they're at historic lows. I think we can agree on that. But if they go up, they're only going to go up a little bit. You're not going to see like Modern spikes.
Okay, I need to interrupt you real quick because I'm checking out something from Twitter which is relevant to what we're talking about. Sheldon Menery just tweeted saying, since folks asked, I'll tell you that the Commander ban list update will be on its normally scheduled date, which is next Monday.
Okay, so no Commander ban list in this.
Interesting. We're narrowing it down. We're only 22 minutes away from the announcement.
Oh man, this is like a countdown cast. We got to get this thing out quick. But you know, that's kind of like our take on Frontier and like why. I mean, in future episodes, if you guys want, tweet us, hit us with questions, and you know, we can explore what you want. But realize that right now the game is in a very bizarre place where a lot of formats are expensive and not delivering on what the majority, I don't even know if it's a majority, but I think it's some people, and they are not abandoning or destroying your format. They are just looking at another way to play this game, and that's where Frontier came from. So I personally don't believe it's conspiracy theory. I just think it's an organic thing that occurred, and it's, you know, all people like us who, yes, we're spearheads. I'm not going to say, you know, we are not hype men because the cast is called Hype Club, but if I'm excited about something, my goal is not to make money off it. My goal is to like say, "Hey, are you playing this? Because it's awesome. You should come play with me."
My goal is to see it grow and become something that is so wildly successful it becomes out of my control.
I mean,
Right?
obviously, you know, that would be the greatest thing. And if anyone doesn't realize that the future is, even Morrow tweeted, he's like, "Look, guys, we know that there is a format between modern and standard one day that we're gonna make." Even Morrow's admission, I mean, you can claim or not that he's whatever he says is the word of God. It's just the fact that someone at Wizards just said that publicly is a huge confirmation that we're on the right track. Maybe Frontier, it doesn't have the correct start date, maybe it's Origins, maybe Fetchlands are included or not. I know Morrow said he didn't, he wouldn't. And that brings up a whole other topic that I want to get into, which is moving forward, we have some very interesting things that are about to happen. Modern Masters 2017 is going to come out, and if it has fetches or not is going to be a very telling sign to the future of Standard, because if fetches, if the Zendikar fetches are in Modern Masters 2017, does that mean that fetches are kind of off the radar for Standard? They don't really want them there. And that would imply also that or Frontier, ideally, if you follow that logic, it should not have front fetches as well. So, I mean, that's a really interesting way to look at that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing that I want to touch base with you about like the inception of Frontier 2 is that it wasn't like a phoenix born from the ashes of something dying.
No.
This is just people's passion for the game looking for an outlet.
Exactly. And the real journey of a player, and we've been in this game a long time. I've especially been in this game since 94, took a break, but I've been in it a long time. So I'm not the typical, I wouldn't even say I'm a typical player anymore. I'm probably the 1% of people that play this game. I find the majority of people that play this game probably started at that huge growth boom around Innistrad and Return to Ravnica. And those people have a very different viewpoint of the game. You know, to them, modern is like our legacy and vintage. They're like, that's crazy. So Frontier appeals to them greatly because number one, they've all played the cards. They're familiar with them. They know what they do, and they probably own a few of them. I mean, when you look at Frontier, you're like, why are people playing it? It's like, hey, if I owned a playset of Gideons because I played it in Standard, and I don't know, I liked Crackling Doom. I mean, I'd be like, is there a Mardu deck I can play? Oh, there is. Oh, sweet. How much are the cards? $100. You know, why wouldn't I want to play that? So you have to realize Magic is always growing. It's always expanding. They're always going to be a new, there's a new play space. There's new players coming into the game. Hopefully that's what keeps the game going. So it's not a surprise that there's going to be some people wanting a new format every year. And I don't even know if it's they want it to screw the old format. It's just that's the growth curve of the game. Every so often, there's a new format to play. And I personally believe the more formats we have, the better the game is because it means any one format gets a little boring for you personally. You can play another format and you don't leave the game.
Maddie, I totally agree with that because that's why we haven't even talked about things like, and I'm talking about this in a positive way. We haven't even talked about things like Tiny Leaders, Pauper, you know, whatever the format is where you can use uncommons. I forget what
Oh,
that one's
boy.
called. You know, there's just people have been doing this since Magic has existed. People have been playing at their kitchen table. Guess what? That's a format. Kitchen table Magic is a format. So if you love these cards and you want to play with them, now is such a good time to do it. Everyone is so happy to be playing this. Like it's just such a breath of fresh air throughout the community that came from within. You
It
know,
is.
this was people feeling like they needed, like I said, an outlet for their love of the game, and it's here. And with the stores like Haruhi in Japan, Face-to-Face Games Toronto hosting two massive tournaments recently, as well as weekly tournaments, weekly 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. events, you can play 7 rounds of Frontier in store at Face-to-Face Games Toronto every week. And that's just weekly, you know? And that's because the community said to, you know, one of the owners, Kelly Ackerman, and myself, like, you guys need to do this because we want it. And Kelly, being the genius community-oriented businessman that he is, said, yeah, absolutely, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing, I know a lot of people will hear this cast, and maybe, you know, you don't know who Face-to-Face Toronto is, and we're all from the Toronto area, so that's where I play. You know, I have to drive a couple hours to get there. I live,
and it's worth it.
But I do, and I have lots of game stores right around me, and, you know, I choose to take on the effort to go down there, and it's because the community, the atmosphere, the attention to detail that you guys do, the way you put on events, I feel even the people that come there, they're all awesome. I mean, everyone is very positive, and it's funny that the Frontier events that I've been to already have made my love of the format so much greater. I can't tell you playing against opponents that are just like, hey man, you know, you won three, you know, two in a row, you want to keep playing? And I'm like, yeah, let's just keep shuffling up. We've got 24 minutes in a round.
Yep.
You know, that never happens in Modern ever, ever, ever. And even in Draft, it doesn't. It rarely happens. But people were so excited to just like, hey, what do you think? What do you think about my deck? I think it's cool. How would you brew your deck? Oh, I think I'm going to change this. Oh, sweet. Like, there, it felt like everyone's walls were down. It just was really nice. Now, I'm not saying this is a fantasy land and all Frontier tournaments will be like that. I'm just saying, this is my experience. This is how I've seen it happen. And I feel like, you know, if you look at online, you've got Rogue Deck Builder. Kevin, you should check
him out.
Love
that guy. Love that guy. Yeah.
Follow his content. He's really good. I know Talarian Academy is going to be featuring you guys and some Frontier content. I mean, he's awesome. Congratulations to the professor. And there's just a huge community out there of people that are trying to look at everything from a positive angle. And that's kind of what we want to bring. The past year, 2016, no one has to tell you guys it was a little negative. You know, everybody went through a dark period, man. And we're countering that. That's like our goal is to really counter that with positivity. So, you know, I'm here. We're here. We're going to be here every week. You can listen to us. And, you know, we're going to try to look at everything from a positive point. How can we look at things? Hey, I'm sure one day we're going to say something negative too. But, you know, our goal is to be positive and to try and communicate that, like our love and passion for the game, into what you guys want to hear about. So, you know, I'm excited. I think 2016 is going to be a great year. 2017 is going to be a great year, man.
Okay, Maddie, 14 minutes until the announcement.
Oh, my God.
So do we want to talk a little bit about sort of us, or for people who don't know us a bit? Or we've sort of been doing it, but...
Sure. You know what? I mean, this is episode one.
I mean, it is episode one, you know?
It is episode one. So, I mean, a lot of people, if you're listening to this, you may not know who we are. And for those who do know who we are, we're sorry that we made this episode and we're boring you. But, you know, I'm Maddie Studios. I've been on Twitter for a long time. I started Heavy Meta with, you know, Gabby Metal and that. It was a fun podcast. We recently had to put the show on a bit of a permanent hiatus, just because the show really wasn't coming together in terms of scheduling, and it was a sad moment. But I mean, I've always been, again, I'm just a player on a journey. My goal is to try and talk about Magic, get hyped about Magic. That's what I do. It's just my natural personality. So if you've ever met me, you know that there's no fake, there's nothing fake here. It's just who I am. So if I come across sometimes as a little too hype, too bad.
The show's all called Hype Up. It's all real.
You came here, not me. I didn't come to your house. You came to my house to listen to me get hyped. So
it's true. Well, and the reason I want to bring this up is because I've sort of switched Twitter handles now, and for a long time I was awesome every day, and I still am. You can find me there, but in Maddie Studios' heart, I was always awesome sauce.
I know. I take full responsibility for this one. I'd accidentally, when I'd met Tony, I'd called him Awesome Sauce, but for some reason, No matter how many times people corrected me, I was like, yeah, Awesome Sauce. And they're like, that's not his Twitter handle. It's Awesome Every Day. I'm like, well, you know what, man? It's Awesome Sauce in my brain. That's how it works. So
yeah, well, I mean, I've spent, you know, the last 14 or 13 years cooking professionally as a chef. So the sauce part sort of fits. But I want to step away from that mold a little bit. And I don't – if you know me, that's who I am. I'll always take care of you in that aspect, but I want to be a little more MTG oriented, and that's why we have the Awesome Sauce MPG handle now, and I'm still happy to field all your questions on how to make a beurre blanc or what the proper time to cook a stock of different types are. I'm happy to do all that here, but I really, really want to focus this on magic and positivity and the love of the game.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, you've got big things going on. You know, Tony is like one of the core people at FaceFace Toronto. So he is the man that knows just everything about the format. He gets like 100 text messages an hour of people like, what's the brew to play? When are we playing it? How are we doing it? It's crazy. It's so hard to communicate with the guy because he's just like, I can't stop. There's too many messages.
But I try. You know, I try.
You know, we're going to try to come at this from a positive angle and that and really like really, really, really try to be the people that are going to take the positive spin on things. And I hope you guys come along for the journey. But we're getting near the end of the show. The episodes are going to try to be around 45 minutes. I'm going to keep it nice and tight and compact. But let's talk really quickly before we get the ban announcement in 11 minutes about a few more cards from Aether Revolt. Because I know last our beta episodes of Kitchen Table that we were recording to see if this would work, we were talking about a few of them. And there's a couple based
on... Let's get hyped, Maddie.
I know, right? I need to get hyped right now. This is what I want to get hyped about. So are there a couple of things in here that you've seen that are like now based on the fact that you played that tournament that are jumping out to you now even more?
Oh, absolutely. There's, you know, I'm not even going to touch the Saheeli Ray combo because that's... We're going to find out in...
Yeah, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out in now less T minus 10 minutes. The countdown's actually on. Do you have the Wizards page open? Are you hitting refresh?
I do.
Okay, so the cards that I've been interested in are almost all exclusively revolving around hardened scales.
Oh, wow.
So now we're talking, you know, Oath of Ajani. We're talking about the 1/2 death touch that comes in with a counter if you're revolting. There's a 2-mana 2/1 that comes in with 2 counters if you're revolting. You know, these are the cards that I want to see in an aggressive build that can help make a Tarka Red not the only aggressive deck.
Now, you know, there's a few things because that's hilarious. I actually dug through my stuff and I found I only have 3 hardened scales, which makes no sense. I'm like, where's the 4th? I can't find it, but I'll look for it.
I didn't think you ever bought less than playsets of anything.
I didn't. That's why I don't know where. I don't know. My kids must have stolen it or something. But you know the card that I looked at? Because I was thinking about how to do this. And I was like, you know, obviously Manigord or Hydra. From Origins, great card in that deck. So anytime a Kellis spell is cast, boom, it gets a counter. And if you got hardened scales out, you get 2.
That thing also has trample. Has trample.
It's absurd. That card is going to be your finisher. Now, the other card, though, is Hooded Hydra. So Right? So Hooded Hydra is from, I don't remember.
It's from Cons.
It's from Cons. And basically what it does is it's X card. So it enters the battlefield with X counters, I believe.
Yeah, X green.
X green. So even at like 3 mana, it enters with 2 counters. But the awesome thing about that card is when it dies, for those counters, boom, you get snakes.
So it's like a mono green.
It's anti-wrath prevention.
No, it's a mono green Hangerback Walker.
Kind of. I mean, obviously Hangerback Walker I would play as well in a deck. But I thought that card was really interesting. Now, there's another card that we need to talk about in Hardened Scales because that is a deck that I really want to try and break if I can.
I think it's going to be one of the breakout decks of this new Frontier format.
Right. Now, the card that I want to talk about is an artifact card. It's from Aether Revolt. It is Ballista, I believe, a Walking Ballista, that's it.
Walking Ballista, yep. Okay,
so this card's very interesting for you who don't know. It's XX for a 0/0, and it's kind of like a combination of Hangerback Walker and Serrated Arrows, almost. Way back in the day, that card. So it enters a battlefield with X-1/1 counters on it, so for two mana, it enters with 1, not including Hardened Scales. If you had it, you get 2. And then for 4, you can put a counter on it, but it... Any time, I believe, you can remove a counter, and it deals 1 damage to our creature player.
Yeah, so we sort of have like a Triskelion meets Hangerback Walker sort of piece here. And to me, this card seems unbelievably nuts in a hardened scales deck. You're telling me you just get to pay four mana to do two damage to any creature or player every turn. If you have a hardened scales out, that's what you get to do.
Now,
and on top of that, this gives you just the reach to finish, which green decks are always lacking.
Now think about this, and this is what's insane. So when you're playing green, white, hardened scales, there is so many cards you can probably make two decks, and they're all different cards. There's just so many cards to go in the deck. So there's lots of builds. I don't know the optimal build. There's a lot. But you've got Anafenza, which bolsters, that could go in that deck, which is silly. You've got Dromoka's Command. Now, Dromoka's Command is the best card. You're going to play four of main deck in green, white, because it is going to do absurd combat tricky things.
Like kill your opponent's hardened scales?
Yeah, you could do that too, right? But I mean, like, the fact that you could put a counter on Walking Ballista, if you've got a scales that it adds to, you could minus the counters, or you could actually, what you could do is even dirtier. You could fight something first. Let the fight trigger resolve. Then you could remove a counter. Would that kill the creature?
It will. You have to be careful with that, but you can... There's a lot of interesting things you can do with it. Like, again, we all know how good Hangerback Walker is. We'll talk about price here a little bit. It went from, like, you know, $1 to $2 to $4 to up to $10 with the Frontier spike. Wow, things are so expensive. Because the card is actually that good. It gives you Wrath Prevention. It's going to be one of the best cards you need to deal with Yahini's Expertise.
Yes.
Because once your board gets Wrath, you're going to need to have some sort of Wrath Prevention. And the new green spell that gives all your creatures indestructible for the turn doesn't cut it.
No.
You know, so you need to have some way to beat Yahini's Expertise. And even if this Ballista and Hangerback Walker become your sideboard options and you just go hardened scales into Walker into Ballista, you're going to be very confident against the sweeper decks.
Yeah. This card also, I feel like this card is even, while it is really, really good in green-white, hardened scales, I think this card is actually really good just in general. I almost wonder if you could just play this in like a control shell just to be like an extra removal spell on legs.
Hangerback Walker did that.
Yeah, what's so crazy about this
one. But this one has reach.
Exactly. And
yeah, this one doesn't spit out 1/1s, it just shoots them in the face.
And also in a control deck, you're like waiting. So you're like holding up counter magic, but then if your opponent doesn't do anything you care about, you're like, all right, I'll put four into my guy. So I feel like this card is very good because I can just keep holding up my reaction spells, my counter spells, allowing you to, or my opponent to, you know, bait into my wrath maybe, or bait into my counter spell. And then if I don't need to do anything, I'm like, all right, I'll just dump my man into this guy. And then now I'm pinging you in the face. I mean, can I remove all the counters at once, or is it only one at a time?
It's one at a time, but that's even better.
There you go.
Adding things one at a time is considerably better than having to do it all at once.
Yeah. I think that card's really interesting. I'm excited to play that card. There's just so many cards in Aeth of Revolt, and over the weeks we're gonna talk about them and go really in depth about what we can do with them in all kinds of formats. Standard, modern, you know, Frontier, of course. But a couple of the cards that I wanted to talk about, especially everyone's talking about Shahili Ray, but let's talk about the other combo that we feel is probably even better.
I like this one. This is Crackdown Construct and Wandering Fumarole.
Okay, so let's give the brief on Crackdown Construct.
So Crackdown Construct is a 4-mana 2/2 artifact that says whenever you activate an ability that's not a mana ability, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Wandering Fumarole has a 0-cost activated ability to switch its power and toughness. So you activate the Wandering Fumarole, you pay the 4-mana to turn it into a creature so you can activate the ability. You pay zero a whole bunch of times, you kill your opponent.
Yeah. And remember, you've got the Tyrant, the Eldrazi Tyrant, that can fling it. So you can, you know, get it up to 20 power and, you know, fling it and sack it.
We have the opponent. Slip Through Space in blue. We have ways to give it Trample in red. Like this, I wanted to talk about this one. This Invigorated Rampage card seems insane. It's 2-mana instant, 1 in a red. Choose one. Target creature gets +4/+0 and trample until end of turn. Sick. Or 2 target creatures get +2/+0 and trample each.
Yeah, that seems extreme.
That card's amazing.
That seems extreme. I mean, even in a Tarka red, that card sounds pretty good.
It's close to another Teemer Battle Rage, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Teemer Battle Rage, obviously, I mean, hell, you could Teemer Battle Rage this thing, too. That's another
exactly.
thing.
Exactly, right? Yeah, just another 2-card combo there, right?
I mean, that sounds really interesting. I think the one thing we also should talk about is we're getting Shock back. And that is, I think... no one's really talking about that Shock is back.
Because it's only relevant for Standard, because we have Wild Slash, which is strictly better than Shock.
You think Shock is not?
Yes, because Wild Slash is Shock with upside.
That's true. Okay, good point.
Right, it's Shock with Ferocious, but for Standard, it's actually quite important. I just don't know how it actually competes with something like Fatal Push.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think Fatal Push is the card everyone is like, well, when are you guys going to talk about it? So, all right, we got 2 minutes.
Well, we have 2 minutes, so.
So we'll talk about Fatal Push. Fatal Push obviously is very good. I think Fatal Push is going to be, looking at my, MTGO account where I have all my brews I'm working on for Frontier, every black deck is like instantly getting 4. The card is going to
start.
To insert. I mean,
In Standard, I don't think this card's as insane as it is in every other format because you don't have fetch lands, right? You can't just turn it on whenever you want. But in the Eternal formats, we'll talk all the way back to even Legacy here, this card, Fatal Push, pairs extremely well with something like Urborg because it lets you sit on fetch lands that you can still use for mana while cracking them when you need to turn on the Revolt. So I think that is an extremely powerful combo between Urborg, Fetchlands, and Fatal Push to just turn it on whenever you want.
Well, a lot of people wanted me to run the math, and I'm like, you don't know me. I don't really do math. But they were like, well, what is the reality with Fetchlands in Frontier? Is it 50% of the time you're going to have it with a Fetchland? And I'm like, who knows? I mean, I haven't run the math. You're going to have to get somebody way better at that than me to figure that one out. But I feel like in most of the games we've played, I don't know. I think you're going to have it whenever you want it. And frankly, in Frontier, most of the cards you want to kill in the first three turns are under 2 anyways. So
exactly.
I mean, Jace has got to die. Rabblemaster's got to die. Soulfall Grandmaster has to die.
Yep, Grim Flayer.
Yeah, Zulaport has to die. I mean, there's a lot of things that just have to die. The fact, though, that it's one mana, I think, is the huge thing. That's what just takes it to that next level for me. And the fact that late game it kills Kalitas, that's pretty good.
Okay, buddy.
I know, right? Any second now, folks, we're going to do this live. We'll be reading it. Here's one thing, though, quickly while we're waiting. Tasigur. Does Tasigur get better now? Because we can delve into him and he's not going to be able to be pushed?
I think he kind of does. Yeah, I can see that. The other thing, too, that you might not notice is Tasigur has 4 power, which turns on your Ferocious. So things like Stubborn Denial with Tasigur are incredibly powerful.
Yeah, Stubborn Denial is, I mean, we had an earlier episode of Kitchen Brews where we talked about all the counterspells in Aether Revolt, which, we're going to do again because those cards are crazy. I just can't wait to...
Do you think the Wizard site is going to crash?
Yes, I probably believe it will. I mean, it's already crashing because, look, now I can't even reload it. It's just sitting there. Yeah, it's totally crashed. It literally is crashed. So Wizards is crashed.
check Twitter. To Twitter. Yeah,
basically, to Twitter we go, and we'll just wait for people to tweet, oh my god, the world has ended, and we'll finally find out what's going on. While we wait for Twitter to come up, there is something we should talk about, which is, if you're interested in playing Frontier, you want to get into the format, and you're in the local Toronto area, there's a deal you guys have, which, when you told me about it, I was like, absurdly, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. This thing is insane. And that is, you guys are selling an absurd 4x playset of all the uncommons and commons. And I believe this Aether Revolt is the one set where that is a stupid deal. I think you guys screwed up because the uncommons in this set are more powerful than the rares.
Well, and that's where I think you're wrong, is because the intention was to go hard on this. And when I talked to... Twitter's just all about crashing. when I talked to Kelly about it and we thought about it, yeah, we hadn't seen Fatal Push and we hadn't seen all of the like crazy cards like Renegade Rallier and the Vampire Nightwalk, things like that. But if Wizards wants to take a step to make this game more affordable, they can put the power levels in a more frequently opened card.
Yeah.
So the desirables are uncommons. Yeah, maybe they're going to be $4 or $5 instead of the 1 or 2, see Aether Hub, see Fatal Push, but they're not going to be $60, see Liliana,
yes,
see Nahiri at one point, see
Chandra,
Emrakul, see Ulamog, yeah. See the list goes on,
I agree. And I think if this is what Wizards potentially is trying to do, is they're going to use Masterpieces to lower the price overall, but then also move a bit of the power down into the uncommons, which allows us to get playsets. And I think
that's I think it's a brilliant move.
I do too, and I hope it is intentional, because
so because we saw that, we took the opportunity to try and put playsets in everyone's hands.
And it's insane. So the deal that you guys are offering is, it's $75 if you want a 4x set of the commons and uncommons, but if I spend $100 on pre-orders, it's only $50?
Yep. So about the price of a box.
So $150 gets me a full 4x playset of all the commons and uncommons, and I get to pick a bunch of awesome rares, like all the expertise and all the cards.
Yeah, that, you and I sat here and did our shopping together and be like, okay, I'll take four of this expertise, then this expertise, then this expertise, and then this guy that goes to the expertise, yeah, and this guy that goes to the expertise. And it was like one of the most like fun online shopping experiences I've ever had in my life.
I know. It's funny because we're going to have to do that live next time. Because
absolutely.
It was actually hilarious to... This is one of the first times that I actually have been, even pre-ordered cards. I have been the modern guy, and... You know, 2016 was like my whole breakdown with MTG Finance and couldn't take it anymore. And, you know, I was like, it's just garbage, right? You know, you're always looking at what's the one card that they released in the new set for Modern. Nope, they don't have anything. Screw it. So, like, the Frontiers got me actually really excited about purchasing cards. That's kind of good. So, I mean, the fact that I can purchase cards for Standard is helping Wizards. I can't argue that that's not good for their bottom line. And with Standard struggling right now, it's probably a good thing. Wizard's site is completely crashed, by the way.
my whole computer screen is a bar of messages from people saying, what's with the new Twitter account? My only response is, you'll see. So shout out to everyone who's asking me while we're casting live.
It's funny how people are like, Reflector Mage is banned from Standard. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, please, that's not happening. Although, you know what? That... Maybe. You know what? Maybe with Collector Company, that would have been better.
Yeah, no, wait. Reflector Mage is the only thing that can take on Emrakul
right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. I think if Wizards really is trying to lower the price of Standard...
Okay, it's up, Maddie.
Oh, what do we got? What do we got?
Emrakul is banned. Smuggler's Copter is banned. Reflector Mage is banned.
Oh, my God.
Modern. Gitaxian Probe is banned. Golgari Grave Troll is banned.
What? So Probe?
What? Probe and Grave Troll in Modern? Emrakul, Smuggler's Copter, Reflector Mage in Standard.
Wow, this... Okay, well, we're going to talk about this now, folks.
Okay, do you want to read the explanation?
Yeah, well, I can't even get to the site because it's so broken.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
There's a lot to digest from the above announcement, so let's take each piece one by one. First, okay, we announced the changes to the release last week, or the week earlier than normal. When we last announced the date for the banned and restricted update list, we posted it as of January 16, 2017. However, we've been listening closely to community feedback, specifically on the Standard format, and while many players have found fun and inventive ways to enjoy the format, many others have pinpointed a few cards that hold the game back from being as fun as it can be. Furthermore, our data shows that White-Blue Flash is unbalancing the format, stifling some of the creativity we believe can exist. Given all of that, we've decided to make the changes for the health of the format.
Wow. Okay, so let's digest that before we get to the Modern stuff. Emrakul banned is not surprising. I think that it was leading to a lot of just very drawn out, you know, I take your turn, I wreck your stuff, and hope you recover. So I understand that. That makes a lot of sense. Smuggler's Copter was a 2-mana artifact that could fit in any deck.
But it also was the card that was the only card we've seen in a recent Standard era that had every single copy of top 8 decks have 4 copies for multiple weeks in a row.
I mean, I get it, though. I feel like the metagame has adapted a lot since then, so I don't know. That one surprised me. Personally,
I was surprised by Smuggler's Copter, too. Right? So let me read why they said Emrakul. Okay. Created to be a scarily powerful, Emrakul the Promised End delivered on that promise too well. Emrakul faced too little resistance and ended games too easily. She was the world-ending, all-powerful monster she was in the story, which was too much for Standard. Smuggler's Copter. Simply put, Smuggler's Copter is too efficient and shows up in too many decks, diminishing the format's diversity. We want planeswalkers, sorcery speed removal, and a variety of vehicles to be viable options, and we believe removing Smuggler's Copter will allow them to flourish again. On the top archetypes in Standard, very few didn't play four copies of Smuggler's Copter, stifling many creative fun options. Smuggler's Copter was the result of a new card type pushed too far, and as such, is now banned.
Okay. I mean, Smuggler's Copter felt like it was starting to become dealt with. You know,
I when we played Frontier yesterday, four different games on turn four, I hit my opponent for 18 with a Smuggler's Copter, Become a Bench, and Teamer's Battle Rage. Now, I know we're talking about being banned in Standard, but I'm just showing you the power level of, oh, you didn't have a flyer, you're dead.
Fair enough. Okay, so
it felt almost Ink Moth Nexus-y.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy to it, and it loots. I mean, okay, so I'll give you that. For Reflector Mage, though,
let me read what Reflector Mage says then.
Okay.
Reflector Mage. Our data showed the white-blue flash deck was too powerful against the field, and Reflector Mage has been on many players' list of most disliked cards since the days of Collected Company. Other cards were discussed to check blue-white flash, but Reflector Mage came up time and time again as both frustrating and a targeted way to diminish the white-blue flash deck.
Wow. You know, I get it. I think you know what, Collected Company... I think that did a lot, right? Like, I think Collected Company Reflector Mage kind of put the taint in it, like, this card is BS. And now the fact that it makes a lot of sense that they were envisioning Standard to rotate quicker. And they were like, let's not ban it, we're almost through. And then we had the big revolt, and everyone's like, no, we don't want it, we want longer Standard. And I think this right here is a result of like, okay, if you guys want longer Standard, we have to do this. And I get it, that makes sense to me. So Standard bannings is extremely interesting. My initial feedback is, from a financial standpoint of view and a, you know, air quotes, get your cards before your deck goes through the roof. Marvel, I think that's going to go up big time.
It has to.
Right?
It has to, yeah.
Shaheely Rai and obviously the Cat Lady combo is safe, so that's going to go crazy. So those look like they're going to be the two things that are going to be fighting. One question and caveat, you know, before we have to go, because the cast is getting close to the end, is why would Wizards not print answers? Why are they relying on banning and not printing, like, for example, Graveyard Hate? I feel like Emrakul would not be a problem if you had had a card. How about a 2-mana card that comes into play, exile target player's graveyard? That's it.
Because you can still Marvel it.
Sure.
Trust me, Maddie, as someone who plays Marvel,
no,
the only card I want to see off the top is Emrakul. Ishkenaz a very close second, but now, you know...
well, there's all kinds of big Eldrazi now, and there's
Gearhawks. It's going to be Ulamogs. Yeah, it's going to be Ulamogs.
And Gearhawks. I just think Gearhawks are even better. Like, you know, boom. Like, I think right now you're talking about Marvel moves the Teemer, and it tries to go, you know, let's get blue spells, let's get, you know... whatever the Flash Hulk is named. I think those guys are good. Black Hulk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. So let's talk Modern really quickly before we got to go. Pro banned. Shocking. I think that's a shocking one because I just bought my foil probes. So I'm pretty pissed off actually about that because I'm like, come on. I think Probe is a really awesome card in a vacuum of what it does. It lets you see your hand. It lets me draw a card. Very innocuous, innocent card. I think... when you get Death Shadow and you get a lot of these Storm pseudo decks that are trying to go off, I think it's an Phyrexian Mana in general is.
Well, let me read real quick what they said.
Okay.
Gitaxian Probe increased the number of third turn kills in a few ways, but particularly by giving perfect information and a card to decks that often have to make strategic decisions about going all in. This hurt the ability of reactive decks to effectively bluff, or for the aggressive deck to missequence their turn. Ultimately, the card did too much for too little cost. 100% agree. This is Gitaxian Probe, to me, is a legacy vintage card.
No, Probe is a modern card as well. I think Probe is absolutely a modern card. Come on.
But now it's banned, so it's not.
Well,
I completely agree.
I am Jack's furious rage right now.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
Surprise?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally see this. Where I am surprised though is the Golgari Grave Troll.
Oh, see, because... I'm not surprised at all. See, I'm the reverse. I actually knew 100% that if they're going to ban that, that's the card you got to kill at a dredge.
I was calling Cathartic Union, but let me read real quick what it said. Right. Dredge, the mechanic, and the deck has a negative impact on Modern by pushing the format too far toward a battle of sideboards. With the printing of Cathartic Reunion and Prized Amalgam, the deck once again became unhealthy for the format. While those cards were discussed, the real offender always has been the dredge mechanic itself. Also agree with that.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, we all knew. I mean, the day Carthartic Reunion was spoiled, within, I think it was 2 seconds, we messaged each other. We're like, holy cow, Dredge just got insane. Like, and so yeah. did... And I mean, that card also in Grizzleband Reanimator, it's an absurd card. So, you know, I get it. I think right now there is definitely... I don't know. Is it me? I'm feeling like there's panic. I feel like Wizards is kind of like, holy cow, nothing is fixing it, you know?
And no, you know what this says to me?
What?
Wizards has put the most amount of effort I've ever seen them put in to the fun of the game. All of these have the exact same undertones. This card wasn't fun to a lot of people. People didn't like this card. This card wasn't fun. This card created too much consistency and not enough of the ability to bluff or miss sequence. I 100% agree with all of these. These are all bans to make the game more fun. Has nothing to do with extreme power level, even though Emrakul is an insanely powerful card. I'm still going to play it in Frontier. I'm still going to try and...
Obviously.
Emrakul is still valid in Modern, like big Emrakul, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think all of these, to me, speak volumes that Wizards has been watching Frontier and seeing how much fun people have been having. And then they said, oh, crap, we need to make sure that everybody's going to have fun, especially standard players to buy packs and especially modern players to keep them franchised.
I agree with that. I mean, I personally have been... well, it sucks that, you know, I lost my Splinter Twin deck literally the week after I'd bought my Splinter Twins. I had the deck except for Splinter Twins, and I waited, and I was like, you know what? I need it. I just need to finish this deck so I can play, you know, get some reps in, and then boom, it got banned. The same thing happened with Pod. I just bought my Pod. Bam, it got banned. It hurts. It frustrates me.
So you know what you should get?
Well, hold on.
Aetherworks Marvel.
Right. Well, I did. I did. This time I'm getting ahead of it. But you know what? It hurts. But I do think that it's better to keep things moving. I think the number one thing that is bad for Magic is stopping, is stagnation, is stillness. That is not good. When people aren't even talking about the format, that's bad. So if they're all screaming and yelling at it, it's probably better than if no one's talking about it. So I think this is good. I think these are going to be good announcements. I think this is going to switch up Modern a bit. This is exciting. Now we can...
Maddie, I'm so hyped. Now that I've seen this,
all right,
and now that we've finished the face-to-face game Sunday Showdown, and now that we can take a little bit of a breather... Let's get our brew hats on, buddy.
Oh, we are. Here's the question you need to ask yourself right now, and that is, did this slow down Modern enough for a control deck? Because you know that's our dream. Our dream is to bring a control deck back to Modern. At least it's mine.
Hey, just think about this, Maddie. You now get to cast Yahini's expertise into Ancestral Vision.
Dude, okay.
You want to talk about a control deck? Wrath your board, draw 3 cards is pretty good.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. For anyone that is interested in playing the new cards from Aether Revolt, I believe, you tell me, confirm, I have a playset of all the expertise except for the green one?
Confirm.
Okay, so I'm happy. Because those cards, right now, I'm telling you people, that is the card that I instantly throw in a deck as a 4 of and say, how do I brew with these? How do I take my Grixis deck and add in the blue one? Oh, that card's going to be so much fun. I don't know what I'm going to cut.
I know, the blue one's going to be so good.
The blue one is going to be insane. So if I could get to... I guess the question is, Infect. Let's talk about Infect real quick before we got to go. Probe hurts it a little bit, but it doesn't stop the engine. And that...
Okay, think about this. Mm-hmm. Now they don't have Probe, they can't play around knowing that you have Fatal Push.
Yeah.
Fatal Push
That's
hits
dope.
Ink Moth Nexus.
That's dope.
I'm super into this.
Yeah. You know what? That's really interesting. So what they did is they took the ability away. They can say, look, you could still have your Infect engine. You can try and kill him, but it's rolling the dice.
Yep.
Right? They just don't...
And that's fair.
And that's
you
fine.
Have to go all in.
Yeah.
And you know what? Most good Infect players don't go all in. If you ever go back and watch Tom Ross play Infect, no. He could do it without Probe. He just probes and wins the game because he knows it's safe.
Yeah, it just sped up the game.
But exactly. So now if Infect is more of like a turn 4-5 deck, I'm very, very satisfied with that.
I'm actually, now the more that I think about it, I mean, it's sad because I always, for the longest time, I was against... I mean, I wasn't against. I just didn't understand the reason of what Probe was. To me, it's like, why is it a dead card in your deck? Why would you play this? Just play removal. And then it wasn't until I got better at Magic that I realized, yeah, the information is super important. The fact that it replaces itself is just why you play the card. And Phyrexian Mana on top of that, That's a busted card. I mean, it's funny when you look at it now in today's power level of cards. It's pretty obvious the card is completely broken. Yeah. But the card that did not get banned, Simeon Spirit Guide, I'm shocked. That was the card I thought for sure they're like, that card's got to go. So that says to me, Simeon Spirit Guide is not as much of an issue as people thought.
Oh, and then not Simeon Spirit Guide necessarily, but Fast Man in general, because I put Simeon Spirit Guide and Mox Opal in the same boat. I sort of said you can't have one without the other. So I mean, a few ban restricted announcements ago, I was under the ban Fast Mana, and that was during the Eldrazi winter. So we were looking at the Soul Lands, Iavugan, Simeon Spirit Guide, and then because of Fast Mana just being the umbrella, Mox Opal was under it, right? And the Mox Opal starts from Affinity are the ones that kill you on turn two or turn three.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it just feels to me like Mox Opal is in one deck. Well, two decks with Lantern. So it just feels like at this point, you're right. If they're going to make a statement and say that, you know, Fast Mana in general is an issue, they're just blanket ban all the issues, you know, all Phyrexian mana gone.
But they didn't. So here we are.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So very interesting to look at what the new metagame is all looking like. I'm excited. You're excited. I'm hyped.
I'm super hyped. And, right. And before we sign out how we're going to be, I just want to say that during this cast, I've acquired over 25 followers just from clicking around. So I really appreciate all the love and support. You guys are going to hear this cast. You're going to know that Awesome Every Day is not dead. We're just sort of consolidating the...
we're fixing your brand. That's what we're doing.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We are establishing the brand. Maddie Studios, Awesome Sauce. Hype Club.
I mean, you can't. That's just the best. Now, by the way, before we go, everyone, thanks for listening. There's going to be a few awesome things coming. So, as you know, we got an awesome logo. It looks pretty dope.
It looks so good.
It does, right?
I'm so happy.
Durfington, Dave Lee, our longtime friend. He's doing us some brand new avatars. You're going to see those. They look amazing.
You can see the sketch on my Twitter now. That's the start.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. We also have some merch coming. So, we're going to be making some shirts. Playmats, maybe some hoodies, stickers, hopefully. So that's all going to be coming down the road. I think initially we're going to drop a lot of it just locally at the Face-to-Face Games Toronto, just because we want to see if it sells, if people like it or not. You know, we don't want to commit to, you know, a couple $100 order because we got to pay for it out of our pockets. But, you know, if you guys like it, let us know. I'll put pictures online. If you want them, we could do a Teespring campaign so we can get it out to our American listeners and everyone around the world for that matter. So we're excited. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next week.
I vote.
Boom.